I've just got a short little message for us. We're going to end today with, I've got a worship video at the end. We'll sing a song at the very end and pray as a family here. But I want to talk to you just real quick what's coming up. We're going to do 21 days of prayer and fasting here at Crosspoint. I know a lot of churches do this at the beginning of every new year. We have a prayer and fasting time, and so we're going to go into this season. All right, Ezra, he's excited. Ezra's excited for prayer and fasting. But we're going to go into prayer and fasting 21 days, and go to the next screen for me, please. Oh, actually, hold on, I forgot. Can't, hold on, I got my clicker. Hold on, I got it. I forgot. There we go. All right. And I want to talk to us about why should we pray and fast. But we're going to do 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I know for some of us, maybe you've prayed one day, maybe you've prayed for 5 minutes or a minute, or maybe you fasted for one day or 3 days. But I want to encourage us in this season for our church to engage in prayer and fasting. And so I want to talk to us just briefly today, why should we pray and why should we fast? Now, why should we pray? Let me offer you a few things here. First is this, prayer is throughout all the Scripture. Prayer is everywhere through the Scripture. How many of you have seen prayer in Scripture? It's got a rhetorical question. You're like, yes, Pastor. Okay, right? It's all throughout Scripture. Let me give you a few instances. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. Or your version might say, pray continually. We're to pray, always be praying. Second is this, in 1 Peter 5:7, Peter writes, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So that means that we are to cast our cares. We're to call upon God for help and for whatever we need. And then in Matthew, the book of Matthew, Jesus said this to the disciples. He says, when you pray, and then he talked to them about how should we pray. So when he said, when you pray, it's inferring that we should be praying. Not, oh, you pray here and there when you feel like it, but we are to be praying all the time. And then lastly, in Luke 11, verse 1, the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. So prayers throughout. So we should be praying. We should be engaging in prayer, talking with the Father. Now, what is prayer? Prayer is not necessarily reciting a prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. But prayer is just talking to God. Like you talk to maybe your father, your mother, talking to a friend in the sense of it should be a conversation. But it also involves listening, talking, and then giving time for God to respond through listening, active listening. And then lastly, in Philippians 4, 6 through 8, Paul writes to the young church and he says, in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And I want to encourage us in this 21 days of prayer and fasting that we are to pray continually, and in everything we are to pray and ask God and present our requests to him. Now, I know a lot of us, a lot of times we like to ask God when we're in a jam. We say, oh God, I need something really quick. I need you to help me. But how many of you have deliberately spent 1 or 2, 3 days or a week deliberately petitioning him on behalf of others, maybe family members that are coming out of town, or maybe for someone that's sick, or maybe for someone at your job? Have you continually prayed and asked him for others on behalf of others other than yourself? And I want to just start with that because prayer is so important. It has to be that continual conversation we have with God. But what about fasting? How many of you, by raising hand, how many of you have ever fasted in your life? You've given up something to know God more. And if you haven't, that's okay, right? There's no. It's going to be a new start. For some of you, this might be your first time you prayed and you fasted together. And so let me have a few things here. What is fasting? What does it do? Turn with me to Matthew 9. It's here on your screen. Matthew 9. And we're going to look at verses 14 and 15 here. It's got a few points very briefly to highlight, kind of just give us an overview of what is prayer and what is fasting. Matthew 9, verses 14 through 15. It says this. It says, then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we in the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them and they will fast. First is this I want to mention is this. Prayer and fasting keeps us close to Jesus. It reminds us of his commands and keeps us eagerly awaiting his return. Jesus told the people there, the disciples there, that, hey, he was with them. There's no need to fast, right? When you're with your best friend, do you miss them? No. Or with your spouse, when you're together, you're present with someone. But when they're gone, you desire them, you miss them. And Jesus was trying to talk to them and say, hey, that when I'm gone, they're going to fast. They're going to fast to be close to me and to know me and to remind themselves of my commands and also to expect his return. And so first is this, that I want to remind us, why do we fast? It is to keep us close to Jesus and his commands and to keep us eagerly expecting his return. I know many of us have said in the last couple of weeks at church, man, we are looking forward to see Jesus. and he's coming back very soon. So fasting is not just giving up food, but it's more than that. It's eagerly waiting Jesus' return and remembering his commands he's given us. Secondly, turn with me over to Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. Turn with me there. There's a few points here I'm going to make here. Luke 2, verses 36 through 38. And it says, it'll says this, prayer and fasting is a form to worship God, is a form of worshiping God. And so Luke chapter 2 here, Jesus is born, Mary and Joseph have brought Jesus to the temple, and we pick up the story here. It says, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in her years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer day and night. And coming up at the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. I highlight this verse because fasting and prayer is a form of worship. Now, during here on Sundays, we come together, we raise our hands, we clap, we sing, and we worship. But fasting and prayer, you doing that on your own as a spiritual discipline, that's another way of worshiping God. It's pretty clear from the scripture here that shows us that that Anna was there for so many years praying and fasting at the temple there, waiting for Jesus to be announced. And the scripture says that that was a form of worship. So I want to remind us that fasting and prayer is not just something that's not worshiping, but it is a form of worshiping God by doing this and by giving up something you like and giving time to prayer. It's a way to worship God. The next one is this. Turn me over to Isaiah 58. We're going to go to the Old Testament here. Isaiah 58. And this is a chapter on fasting that a lot of times is not brought up or talked about. But Isaiah 58, its entire chapter deals with fasting. And right here on the screen, I have a few verses for you. Specifically, 16 through 14 is the second half of the chapter. But on the screen here, I have verses 6 through 7 here on the screen. And I want to say this, prayer and fasting keeps us focused on God's heart for our world, nation, and city. Have you ever thought about that? A lot of times we see fasting as a way to know God more, but that's true, and that is correct. However, fasting also realigns our priorities for what God's priorities are. And that's why I want to bring up Isaiah 58. The whole thing, I encourage you to go home and read it today. It talks about fasting. And even in chapter 59 and 57, kind of bookmarks this, where God says, what is the fasting that he requires? And look at this, these first few verses. It says this. This is God talking to the prophet Isaiah, whom he was going to speak to the people of Israel. He says, is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Now, we could go on and read this, and a few years ago I preached a message on this, but when we fast, it reminds us and resets us about God cares about those that are oppressed, those that are bondage, and not just saying that physical slavery or bondage or poverty, but also those that are in spiritual darkness and poverty. That when we fast, it reminds us what God wants to set the captives free. Remember what Jesus said when he unrolled the first scroll, he unrolled it in the synagogue. He said, I have come to what? To proclaim the good news, to set the captives free, to bring hope. And so when we fast, it realigns our mind, our soul, and heart with God's heart, which is he wants to set the prisoner free. He wants to take those heavy burdens off of us and those yokes that are not from him. And he wants us to go out. And there's physical things we do. We can see here. He says, is it not to take off the straps of the yoke to help the needy, the poor, the homeless? Those are things, when we fast, it helps us think about those that are in bondage and go out and do something about that. So that's another part of fasting and prayer. It's helping us address the needs in our nation, in our city, in our state through God's eyes and what he wants to do. Let me continue on here. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. We're going to jump over to the New Testament here. Acts chapter 13. What is prayer and fasting do? Prayer and fasting helps us with selecting leaders and making decisions. When we pray and fast, we'll see you guys. When we pray and fast, we're not just necessarily trying to just absorb everything, but we're also asking God to guide us, to help us with decisions we have to make. In Acts chapter 13, verse 3, it says, then after fasting and prayer, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. The disciples, had decisions to make. They had to appoint elders, and they set off Paul and Barnabas here for the mission that God had called them to. But they fasted and they prayed, and they laid their hands, and they commissioned those people to go off. Secondly, in Acts chapter 14, verse 23, it says, and when they, meaning the apostles, had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the word, to the Lord, in whom they had believed. So these two scriptures here shows us that when we pray and fast, it helps us make decisions and also appoint leaders and appoint people to help go out and do things for the church in our ministries we have to do. And so fasting is about knowing God more. It's about aligning our mind and heart with what He wants. But it's also helps us pick leaders, make decisions that are wise, right? How many of you, when you've had a decision in your life, you fasted and prayed before you made a major decision? Or you've asked God for wisdom and counsel, right? That's what fasting and prayer does. There's many things that fasting and prayer do, and this is what I want to highlight for us here today, just really briefly. And then lastly is this. Turn me back over to Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. So I want to end with this. Fasting is not a public spectacle or a pious act to receive the praises of men. It is something we do in private to honor God and draw near to Him. Now in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus talks about whatever you do in private, the Lord, your Father, will honor you. But Jesus says, if you do everything in public for the praises of men, then you've already earned your reward. And it says the Heavenly Father will not give you any rewards. And what was interesting is in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it talks about prayer, giving, fasting, service. And it says you do all of that in private, not looking for the accolades or the praises of men. And so right here, this is an interesting verse. It says, Jesus says, he's saying this is the only passage in the New Testament we have about how to fast. What should you do when we fast? This is the only teaching passage. And it says this, it says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward, but when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And I want to remind us in this, when you're fasting these next 21 days, whether you do a one-day fast or maybe you fast one meal a day or you give up, television, for 21 days, whatever it is, remember, you're not to go out and put it on Facebook or go out and tell people, hey, here's what I'm doing. Or, hey, look at me. You're supposed to just do it as unto the Lord privately because He'll reward you for those things that you do privately. And it should remind all of us about what we do for Him is not for to be seen by others or be praised by others necessarily. It's only to be praised by the Father. And so whatever we do it for the one that's unseen. And that's why Jesus reminded His disciples that, and if you go and read these passages, the Pharisees were doing all these outward things. They were going on the street corners, praying real loud. They were wearing the nice robes. They were doing all these things to be seen by others. But Jesus said all of that was nothing. But the little widow, the ones that were doing things in private, they were the ones that were earning the rewards of the king here. And so let me end with this here. Types of fast here. Out in the lobby on the table right outside here, I have a bunch of handouts for you to take home with you. I have a handout on types of fast. Many of you might be thinking, well, Pastor Dan, well, what type of fast can I do? Do I have to only eat water, drink water? Can I give up food? Can I, is it one day, 2 days? What is fasting? And on the handout here, it has biblical ways of fasting, types of fast, with scripture references, and also it shows you different characters in the Bible, different men and women that have fasted in the Bible, and what did they do, and why were they fasting? So I'd encourage you to pick one of these up. There's plenty enough, one for everybody, to go through these. Even though some of you that have been in church for a while, you might be surprised how often the Bible talks about fasting in its different different ways. And so anyhow, I want to give it to you to pick that up. It's right out there. And then I've got 4 prayer guides for you. Now, you might be thinking, Pastor Dan, I can't pray for 1 minute. All right, 1 minute, I've prayed through everything I can think of in my mind in 1 minute or 2 minutes, right? Have you ever been there where you try to pray and you're like, wow, I've been praying for 10 minutes. It's only been 30 seconds. You're like, oh my goodness, what do I pray for? Anyhow, I put some prayer guides for you together. There's one about praying for those who need God. This one specifically has prayers and scriptures, and you can kind of go through to help pray for those who need to encounter Jesus, who don't know Jesus. The other ones are based on, one is on the Lord's Prayer. I don't know, sometimes people pray through the Lord's Prayer. Well, this is a good one about the Lord's Prayer, how to pray through the Lord's Prayer. I've got one on warfare prayers, and dealing with the armor of God, marriage, confession, protection, forgiveness prayers, but just kind of those warfare prayers where we go, we pray, and we say, God, we're going to do battle against the evil one. And so there's some good prayers in here and scriptures for you. And then lastly, there's the tabernacle prayer. There's some prayers about the tabernacle and the layout of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And this handout, I'll walk you through each of the different pieces that were in the tabernacle and kind of how that correlates to the New Testament and what did Jesus do with his redeeming work on the cross. And so anyhow, those are four prayer guides for you. And for teenagers, kids, parents, I'd encourage you to get this, go through it with your children. They may not get it all, but begin to plant those seeds of prayer, how prayer is woven through the Old and New Testament together. So those are right outside here on the table, right here past the double doors right here for you to take home, okay? With that. And then lastly here, we're gonna close here in a song here in a minute, but I want to just give you two things to pray about. For these 21 days of prayer and fasting, I want you to pray over these two things. And then when we gather for our annual family meeting, we're going to talk about, of course, church finances, have good food, but we're going to have a time of just sharing and talking about what is the kind of the future of Cross Point Church. Now, we know the church is to present the gospel, right? We are to proclaim the good news. We are to worship, pray for another. However, God assembles his people at a certain location to do something specific and for a purpose, all right? We know where to pray. We know where to preach the word, teach the children, all that. But beyond that, what has God called Cross Point to do in 2025? So my first question I would encourage you and ask you to pray and ask God to begin to seek his heart on is this. What is the vocation of Cross Point Church for this period of time in Siouxland? What does God want our church to do here in 2025? All right? Now we're going to continue with kids ministry, youth. We're going to continue preaching the word, worship. However, is there anything special or unique God wants us to do right now? One thing I would say is we've seen God has used OCC here at our church to reach a lot of people. And people that don't even go to the church and want to give, that are not even believers, given to that, wanting to come serve and pack boxes. And so my prayer, I'm going to be praying, one of my prayers is, God, what do you want to do with Operation Christmas Child for this time and season? To help reach the lost, help tell boys and girls around the world about the gospel. But that's what I want you guys to begin to pray and just ask, what is the vocation of Cross Point? Meaning, what can we do to help tell others that the kingdom of God is now here, but not yet? It's here, right? When Jesus rose from the dead, he inaugurated the new kingdom, a new way of life. Now, we're new and redeemed, but we're still waiting on the new heavenly Jerusalem to come. We're still waiting for Christ to come back. But God's began to do something. So we want to pray, God, what do you want to use our church right now? Right back when Cross Point started, many of you may not remember, but Cross Point, when we started, had a boys and girls home for runaway teenagers. That ran for 10 years. And then that transition out of that, people that were doing that moved away and so forth and so on. And that stopped, okay? So I bring that up because God can do stuff for a certain time and period to reach the lost and to help those get saved. Secondly is this, question is this, what are my gifts and strengths and what is God asking me to do with them in 2025? I want to encourage you, it is not good enough just to show up on a Sunday morning, 5 minutes before church, come sing, praise, give a clap, give somebody a hug, and then move on, all right? Now, our life is in Christ, right? Your life doesn't revolve around Cross Point Church. However, God has given each of you time, talent, and treasure to do things. And I would encourage you and I challenge you to pray this in the next 21 days. God, what are my gifts and strength that you've given me, and what are you asking me to do with them in 2025? All right, many of you across the table, you have many gifts, right? And like we talked about at our candlelight service, we can't compare our gifts to one another. We don't need to say, well, my gift isn't like Drew's or Joel's. We are called to be like a little drummer boy. We are to beat our little drum, and that gift we have, we are to play it and use it as much as we can for God's glory and to reach the lost. And so that's my prayer I want to challenge us is what are your gifts and strengths, and what is God asking me to do with that? What is he asking you to do with your gifts and strengths for Cross Point, but also in Siouxland, to reach the lost, to build the kingdom of God here in Sioux City? Because the kingdom of God is bigger than Cross Point Church. It's bigger than the Assemblies of God. The kingdom of God is ever expanding, ever growing. But we are called together as the Church of Sioux City to reach Siouxland. And we know there's over 45, think about this church, there's over 45,000 people in Sioux City proper that are not in a church once a month. We know that from surveys. We know that from reaching out. Think of that, 45,000 people in Sioux City proper that are not even in church once a month. And that's just showing up, sitting down. That's not even saying they have an active relationship with Jesus. That's a lot of people, church. And God wants to use our church to be a part of that to reach the lost. And so those are my two challenges and prayer points for you as you're praying and as you're fasting. Begin to pray about these two things. And then at our annual family meeting, we're going to have time to share, what did the Lord speak to you through Scripture, through listening, through times of prayer and just listening? What is God saying? And gather that all together and see and pray and put that before the Lord. Okay, Lord, what are you saying through your people for your church here for this time in 2025? Does that make sense? Does that make sense to everybody? Kind of clear? Okay. All right. So that's our thought and word for the day. I'd encourage you to pick these prayer points up and prayer guides out there about fasting. It'll really, I think, help you give you some teaching and good biblical teaching and grounding on fasting and prayer. But with that, go ahead and...